Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 12:56 p.m. and that is Pacific Summer Time. And today is March 15th. By some measures, the Ides of March. Well, no one has their knives out for anyone today. When we look at the second section index in Japan, it is right back up to the peak that we saw at the end of February, and it has been marching steadily higher, and it's posted a higher reaction low from above that 7,000 point level, and this is an important lead indicator for the Japanese market. So this is characteristic of the second section, that it has these very steep advances, and this is another example of that over the course of the last 18 months. As long as it is holding the region of 7,000, then that represents a tailwind for the Japanese market. And when we look at the Nikkei, then it was in mildly positive territory. It does not have the higher reaction lows, and it retested its February lows. One of the European and Japanese markets are the only ones that really pulled all the way back to test their February lows, not least because they didn't bounce quite as impressively, but it is still bouncing from that area. Then when we look at the banks index, well, the banks have been under some pressure, and they did pull back by more than the stock market, and also they pulled back below their February low, but they have pretty much gone nowhere for the last 10 sessions, and this is approximately the same area of the lows back in November. But when we look at this much longer term chart, we can see clearly that they're not expensive relative to where they have traded historically, that the levels today are coinciding not that far off where they were back in the early 2000s, and that this continues to represent the I think one of the most attractive hedges against an inflationary outcome. But when we look at the Treasury markets, and there has continued to be a high degree of commonality in the bond yield charts for a wide number of countries. Early strength in the bond in the futures market was reversed, and it continues to hold this 2.8% level, but it's been very quiet. And you're now starting to hear that some investment banks, at least one, has said that the highs for the year are in terms of the yield. What we can see from the weekly chart is that 3% is a big psychological level, and that the yield has been ranging below it since 2011. Then we also know that a short-term oversold condition is evident, because yields did rather race to get up to the almost 3% from the beginning of this year. So there is still this, if we look at the futures chart, there is still an oversold condition evident, and there is potential for that to be unwound over the course of the next while. We can see that the Treasury price today was completely unchanged. Well, when we then go back to Asia and look at China, then the market has continued to be reasonably steady around the region of the trend mean. But it does need to sustain a move above that 3,500 point level to really begin to confirm that this is more than just short covering. Then when we look at the banking index, it has pulled back to the region of the trend mean. Now, if we remember what that looks like and then look at the H-share index, well, then we have a pretty clear comparison there, that this is that we've had a very sharp pullback, and now the price is bouncing from the region of the trend mean. So I think this is a rather key arbiter of exactly what investors are thinking about China. The progression of higher reaction lows is still intact, so this is an important area where the 12,000 level really does need to hold if the medium term upside is to continue to be given the benefit of the doubt. What I find quite interesting is that the renminbi has been really quite firm over the course of the last year, but the dollar does appear to be finding at least temporary support around this 6.3 level. It has a few higher reaction lows in here, and it would suggest that the renminbi has at least paused in its advance, and if we see it trading weaker than 6.4, well, then that would begin to suggest that we have a low of more than short-term significance for the dollar. If we then look at what the dollar is doing, it does have a short-term oversold condition, and it is back up to 90 on the dollar index. There is certainly the potential that it could unwind its oversold condition relative to the trend mean, but it would have to do more than that to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment for the dollar. When we are in a corrective phase for stocks generally, then that's likely to represent a tailwind for the dollar. What is also interesting is that the gold price was a little bit softer in here today, but it has been really very steady around this above this $1,300 area. And as long as it is holding above the region of the trend mean, then I think that we can continue to conclude that this is a consolidation. Broadly speaking, the gold price has been in this base formation for the last 5 years, and it is really that a sustained move to new recovery highs is going to be required to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, and we're not there quite yet. It has it's we're still in I think a holding pattern for the gold price. Then when we look at the Australian market, and I'll be posting a number of charts in comment of the day today. The ASX 51 is that's the ASX 200 is back in the region of the trend mean. There is a triangular pattern forming here where we have the progression of higher reaction lows and the progression of lower rally highs, and it's a question now as to in which direction is the index going to break. But if we look at rather than the financials index, the ASX 300 banks index, then we also, and I haven't typed that effectively. So when we look at this index, well, it's difficult to conclude that we're still in the bull market environment, and that it really does need now to bounce rather emphatically from that 8,000 point level. If, for example, I take Westpac, which is, I'm just going to conclude that it's broadly representative of the banking index, then it has been ranging now for almost 5 years, and it is pulling back below the $30 area, and this has type 3 top formation characteristics. It needs to bounce. The mitigating factor for a lot of investors, I suspect, is going to be the yield. At a gross yield of 9%, then there's going to be a lot of people holding banks and or Westpac in particular because of the yield. And that has been the case for much of the last few years, that when the resources sector collapsed, people piled into the banks. But when we look at, for example, National Australia Bank, it's got an even higher yield. But these are not compelling chart patterns. And this is a pattern of a deterioration that we've seen over the course of the last year following the really impressive advances that we saw in 2016. They've petered out, and now we're starting to see these prices starting to come back down again. Where you are starting to see, or I think the redeeming factor for the Australian market is within the healthcare sector, where there are a significant number of the larger shares that continue to trend higher, and in the resources sector, which has perhaps got some of the best recovery characteristics. Then when we look at the European markets, well, Unilever pulled back today because it has some wit is spelling it Unilever because they're leaving the UK in favor of a Dutch hub. Well, that could endanger its position as a member of the FTSE 100, so the share was pulling back in here today, but it has been trending lower since the high back in October, and it is now below the trend mean. The trend mean has turned over, and now the question is, where is it likely to find support? Something that I've been highlighting over the course of the last few months has been the tendency of these consumer-oriented companies to find support when their yields get up to between 3.5 and 4%. For a lot of the US companies, it's 3.5%, and it would appear to be more like 4% for a number of the European companies. Well, the yield is currently about a 3 1/3. So it does have potential for an additional yield expansion, which would result in the price coming lower. Now, when we look at the European markets, the FTSE 100 is still holding above that 7,000 level, and that represents the upper side of the underlying base, but it does need to bounce pretty emphatically from there in order to confirm that we are still in a demand-dominated environment. The Euro stocks, which has been reasonably steady and has also bounced over the course of the last few weeks, well, it is benefiting, at least in the short term, from a little bit of softness in the euro. And I think as long as the euro is not surging higher, then that's likely to be a salve for some of these European indices. But one of the problems that Europe has is that it represents a political minefield, that you have so many different competing governments and parties and objectives. Italy has certainly been making the headlines, but so far it continues to hold the region of the trend mean. And as long as it's doing that, well, then that is likely to be construed as positive by the vast majority of investors. It's had this lengthy base formation for much of the last 9 years, and as long as it continues to hold the region of the trend mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to continued higher to lateral ranging. I think when we tend to look at Europe, France tends to be often left on the sidelines, but it is largely representative of the Euro stocks index, and it has been holding around this 5,000 level for much of the last 18 months. And as long as it's holding that 5,000 level, we can probably continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But there is a reason that Europe has been underperforming, and it's because of all this political tension. And I think that that is well understood. Now the Dow Jones Industrial Average was not able to hold on to its advance in here today, but it was in mildly positive territory. Part of the reason for that is because Boeing, which is its largest constituent, was pulling back in early trading and was able to pare that advance as we've approached the close. But it's been largely range bound for a few months now, and when we look at that on a weekly chart, then this is an inconsistency. It is going sideways for longer. There are more downward dynamics, and it does suggest that this is a pause of more than medium-term significance, and that it is going to unwind its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. Whether that is by virtue of going sideways, which would allow the mean to catch up, or not, is still very much open to question. Then, if we look at the Nasdaq, which has been the leader all along, it's been really quite steady following that key reversal that we saw on Tuesday. Now, downside follow-through on a key reversal of that magnitude is really required to confirm a peak of more than short-term significance. And as long as it's holding that 7,000 level, then nobody will have experienced profit erosion, and it's continuing to hold the breakout. If it continues to hold the breakout and can regroup and then push back up to new fresh highs, well, that would be rather encouraging. Apple followed through somewhat on the downside yesterday, but has been rather steady in here today. As long as it's holding and doesn't pull back in a very violent manner, then I think people are going to continue to be reasonably sanguine about the outlook for the technology sector. There is the possibility that we are in a bubbly phase. One thing that came up from Jeff Gundlach's talk a couple of days ago was that we are in a rather special situation where the cycle is maturing. There is any of the lead indicators that point towards recessions are not flashing red, which would suggest that we are not anywhere close to the next recession. But at the same time, the US has engaged in this massive stimulus. Well, if you start threading all of those factors together, that spells bubble. And when we think about it in those terms, It is usually when either a government makes a mistake in terms of policy, and these are very pro-cyclical policies, then one has to question if they are stimulating now, how is the economy going to be stimulated during the next recession? Is the stimulation going to be even more aggressive? Well, there's no sign of the next recession, and if we are concluding that this is a record stimulus, then there is the potential that we do move into a bubbly phase, and it is those high technology mega cap shares are the ones that are most likely to exhibit those bubbly characteristics, not least because they're already in well-developed and uptrends that have continued to advance in a very aggressive manner. Then I think when we look at the oil price, there was some changes to how MLP taxes are coded in the US today, and that resulted in that sector pulling back rather sharply. But the oil price is very steady around this $65 area, and we know that any time that the oil price is this steady, then it does tend to have rather emphatic breakouts. And certainly it is another little triangular pattern in the very short term. So there is the possibility that we are going to have increased volatility either up or down in the oil price over the course of the next week or two. So I think with that, just to wrap up, we are still in a corrective phase for stock markets. But when we think about what kind of corrective phase that is, then this has been a 10% pullback, perhaps a little bit more than that on the S&P 500. It has held a progression, or it has at least have one higher low and a higher high for the S&P 500. It was not able to hold all an early advance in here today, but that's indicative of a corrective phase. That what is most likely is that we are in for additional ranging. It could be another couple of months, anything from 6 to 18 months, depending on factors from the peak that would contribute to that ranging. But that's probably all that it is. That if we are in fact still in this, we're far away from a recession, and we're also stimulating, then the likelihood is that this will be a range rather than a big top, and I think that is perhaps the biggest conclusion that we can draw. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.